que dejaron. Soy toda la sobra de lo que se robaron. Un pueblo escondido en la cima. Mi piel es de cuero, por eso aguanta cualquier clima. Soy una fábrica de humo, mano de obra campesina para tu consumo.
What's good, raza? My name is Juan Carlos Lozano, and this is the second season of the PA Podcast, coming to you from Califaslan, Unión del Barrio, in San Diego.
Thank you for all of us listening in. We have two very special compas with us. We have Armando Abundis from San Diego, and we have Ron Goches from Los Angeles. We're going to briefly discuss a couple of topics. Obviously, COVID-19 will be the main one, along with the election and a lot of different miscellaneous topics. But we'll go ahead and just talk about the status of the virus. So did any of you guys... Well, first of all, how are you? How have you been impacted by this? I mean, obviously, we've all been impacted. I know, Copa, you're a teacher and a leader in the community. So can you give us some insight? I know you just got off the phone. We were like, you said that you were doing videos for the people, for the community in LA, Sound Central to be exact. Could you expand on that, Copa? How you've been affected? ¿Cómo está la situación at hand now?
Yeah. You know, I'm lucky. I'm okay. My family's okay. We're doing well. I really can't complain, you know. We get tired of being at home, but hey, it's part of the new life, you know. But I'm lucky as a teacher, we're still getting paid and we're working from home. And I know that a lot of our community members don't have that luxury. So although we're okay, doing okay, we still have a lot of work to do to help out our community. So we're good, and I'm happy we're going to get a chance to discuss it here and to see what we can do as an organization, as a community, to help each other out.
That's right, compa. Well, that's good to hear. Y tu compa? Compa Armando, how are you? Can you give us a status on how you are? I know you've been working from home, too.
Yeah, you know, we, when I say we, my wife and I, we are pretty lucky to be able to, be working here the way, just because of the type of work that we do. Mm-hmm. We were in the so-called quarantine before it even started, because the university just kind of like pulled the trigger very early.
Yeah.
Before even the state even said anything. Mm. Before even San Francisco. So we've been here for more than 15 days.
15 days.
So we've been, trying to pass the time, doing TikToks and whatnot.
Yeah, man, I've seen the uptick in TikTok videos. Yeah. Lately. I'll keep it on the lighter side for sure. My friend sent me one a couple of days ago. It's embarrassing, man. I feel old, but I'm not old, man. Like, people just dance on that, or what's up? Like, people dance? I just thought people were dancing. So,
it is definitely a young thing. You know, I'm probably older than all of them.
I feel old, saying what they're asking you.
But
what the
hell. I learned about it because of I work at a university, so all the kids are using it. And, I just downloaded it and started doing videos. And it comes already preloaded with a bunch of, sound. And you just have to do this kind of, lip sync to it.
Hey, man, one way to pass the time, nonetheless. I've been watching a lot of soccer videos myself. But all right. Compa, let's talk about the status of L.A. I mean, L.A. has been one of the most affected cities, targeted cities by the person over there and God, no, piche, the White House, piche Donald Trump's been talking crap about LA since he got in office, even beforehand. What's the status of Los Angeles right now, compa? What does LA look like? What does South Central look like?
The reality is, man, that unfortunately, I think a lot of our community is not taking this seriously. Here on my neighborhood on Saturday, there was a party, probably like a birthday party or something like that. Unless I was having a good old time, music blasting, DJ, and it's just not time for that kind of stuff right now. We saw the police break up a party, another place in South LA as well. I made it on the news, the racist LAPD broke up a party of African-American folks. But, I think our communities have to take it more seriously. That's why I think that's our job, is to inform our community about the seriousness of this virus. And not only of the virus, but what can happen if this gets even worse and how the state can start repressing us. So LA is, it's... I think the local government has taken the steps to shut everything down. Some of that stuff is necessary. Some cities in the surrounding area are starting to give people tickets if they're out for no reason.
I heard about that.
Mm-hmm. We don't want that kind of stuff to happen. That's what we want to be able to tell our own community and hold each other accountable so that the police and the state doesn't have to get involved. But in terms of our organization, you know, most of our compas are doing well. We're checking on each other and our families, making sure everyone's doing well, making sure everyone has the resources necessary for survival, you know, the food, medicine, water, et cetera. And I think that's something that's, that's when it shows why it's so important to be a part of an organization like ours, because we're going to back each other up. We're going to help each other to make sure we're okay. And so I'm happy to report that in LA, you know, our comrades are doing well. In the city, I think people are starting to take it more seriously. You know, I actually went out today and I saw people on the streets wearing masks and things like that. So little by little, I think our people getting, you know, they're taking it more seriously. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, man, we've seen a lot of that partying stuff. I did catch a glimpse of the LAPD kicking out those people. Yeah, they hella went in there militarized. They said that they wanted to shoot rubber bullets at people. You know, so typical stuff. I mean, you already know, compa. In San Diego, I mean, compa Armando, can you give a status as to like how you see the stuff going on here in San Diego? How you see that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's probably a little bit like the same of LA. You know, there's a lot of people who are either having to go to work in order to provide or right. don't have the benefit. Some of us do, you know, to work from home. I haven't heard of any parties, you know, around my area, but definitely every time I go out.
Man, isn't it usually white people, man, from what I've seen? I mean, yeah, you pointed out Raza, right, compa? But all the spring breakers over there are getting all the coronaviruses, los que fueron allá in Miami, todo ese pedo.
You know, and that's interesting that you say that, because I was looking at this report on, you know, how much, you know, the virus that carry all the way to, like, places like Central America or Mexico, which hasn't been a lot, you know, I mean, their numbers are way low. It's either because, you know, you can blame it and say, well, that's because they're not testing as much as they're testing over here. But we are also kind of like behind on the testing. As
well, oh, hella behind.
Comparing to other countries, right?
Hella.
But I think somebody and someone in the report, and I don't have it in front of me, but they were saying that that this virus, unfortunately, is getting spread on the more on the upper classes than the lower classes, right? And why is that? It's because people are able to travel to other places. Like you get it on a cruise, or you go on vacation to China, or you are in business in China, and you're coming back from China or from all of those countries, Italy, you know, where all of them have like, you know, status of living, you know, higher than Mexico and Central America and other countries. And that's why the virus has spread even more on those countries than in countries like, you know, Mexico, the so-called third world countries, right? Well, that was their theory. I mean, I don't know if it makes any sense, but it really, you know.
I don't know.
They're not going through the same problem as we're going here, even though they are starting to close restaurants and whatnot over here on the border area, you know, like Tijuana, San Diego. If you go to Tijuana now, you know, they start
I heard the abarrotes. Yeah, I heard the abarrotes are having like only two or three people can go in at a time. Like the corner abarrotes, the corner stores and stuff, and they're starting to do like the social distancing thing too. So but San Diego from the most part is okay, our compas are fine for the most part, they're healthy. I think I can record. I can happily say that, right, compa? Or
yeah, from as far as I know, in my, you know, the compañeros that are kind of closer within my base, I think we had two of them that were sick, not because of the virus. They were sick, you know, way before the whole coronavirus started. And you know, what we told them was to, you know, just kind of stay home.
Yeah.
We provided some. You know, phone numbers and whatnot, so they can go on and get tested if needed. You know, and if there was any calls, actually our base was gonna like take up on the calls, you know, for the testing or whatever. It was important for us because, you know, we are one of the bases that, you know, actually we used to get out there every, you know, twice a week, you know, getting out there early in the morning, patrolling the streets, making sure that our people don't get deported, right? And the Mexican neighborhoods right here in San Diego.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I want to get your take on something, compas. I want to get your take on something. Speaking about that, because we do patrols, right? You know, you're the base that you're part of, compa, does patrols, community patrols, in which we document and prevent illegal ICE raids. All ICE raids are illegal. So fuck that. So today, in response to, you know, that the Donald Trump, you know, he's been having these conferences, which are supposed to inform people with the truth, but they disinformation galore and misinformation and stuff. And they don't really give facts, period. The only people that do are like held back, which is Fauci and the other lady, I forget, Dr. Fauci, excuse me. So today, in today's briefing, did you guys get a chance to see it? Today is April 1st.
No, I did not.
Okay, so today
I've been working all day, so yeah.
I feel that. I'm sure everybody that's listening in feels the same way. It's too much stuff going on here. So he came out with the Department of Defense Secretary Mark Esper saying that in order to respond to COVID-19 crisis, he's going to go ahead and fund a counter drug trafficking operation, which will involve the Atlantic and the Caribbean Ocean, in order for them to get this, I'm sure you get a kick out of this, to stop the Maduro drug trafficking regime from delivering drugs from Venezuela and also the narco state of Mexico to kill Americans. So in order to respond to the crisis, the COVID-19 crisis, these are the measures that they're taking. What are your thoughts on this, Compa Ron? And then I'll go to you, Compa Armando. What are your thoughts on this?
I think that it's extremely dangerous that in such a serious situation that the world finds itself right now, in this country, we have someone, not only is he a flat out, just like a capitalist pig in the most, like, you know, the definition of a capitalist pig, but he's also just an idiot. We see that he's standing in front of real true experts that are telling him what's going to happen if we don't, you know, change things in society, and he contradicts them and he completely makes up stuff on the spot. And then they have to go and kind of correct them all of the time. So I think that's really important because that can confuse a lot of people, not only in our community, but in any communities. So that's why it's important that organizations like us are able to clarify and give more information to the people so that they don't fall for stuff that, whether it's Trump, you know, like 20 days ago was saying this was going to disappear, saying it wasn't that bad. Now that he's starting to see how serious this is. But also even south of the border in Mexico, you know, Obrador, López Obrador wasn't taking this seriously at all. And only recently, until like 2 or 3 days ago, did they, you know, say it was an emergency. But at this point, you know, things can spread. So if the political leaders don't take it seriously, that really will cause, you know, catastrophe in our communities. And we know that the working class people are the ones that are going to suffer the most. We're the last ones that are going to be tested. We're the last ones that are going to get the resources from FEMA or things like that. So that's why it's so important that we watch this stuff and that we're able to articulate it to our community so that they know what's really happening, what's really going on, and so that they take it seriously. You know, something major that was announced today here in California by Governor Newsom was that all schools are not going to be closed officially until the end of the semester, so through June. That's huge for a lot of working class people. You know, that how are they going to take care of their kids? You know, not everyone has the luxury of working from home. So these are things that are happening in our communities. Like every single day, there's an update. So we have to be on top of this stuff and be able to help out our community in any way that we can. Because while we are trying to survive this kind of thing, right, as our communities, yeah, the Trumps of the world, they're going to try to sneak in all kinds of crap, but people aren't paying attention. We saw that they were trying to pass a stimulus bill. They try to sneak in anti-abortion measures.
Yeah, man.
These people are not wasting time to attack the working class. And like you said, to attack Venezuela, things of that nature. So our organization, and we've always supported, you know, the revolution south of the border. And during this time, not only do we have to defend our communities, we also have to defend the movement here and south of the border. So that's, again, another reason why it's so important that we put out this type of material and analysis so that our community really knows what's going on. This is not the time to, it's never the time to be attacking people like Maduro and the revolution in Venezuela. Mm-hmm. But especially right now, they need to be worrying about the 200,000 plus people who are already confirmed, you know, with this virus, that have this virus. So the resources and the priorities need to be with the people, not the profits or the political enemies of the United States.
Definitely, compa. No, I mean, I empathize wholeheartedly with that. Compa Armando, do you have something to add to that? Would you like to say?
No, I think Ron summed it up really well. You know, it's we still had to read through this stimulus package that they put out, because I'm sure they snuck in a lot of things
that
probably we don't agree. You know, those are you know, we see it all the time. Whenever there is a bill that is passed, you know, it goes through the different through the House and the Senate, and that's when, you know, a lot of people, in order for negotiate, things get added on, subtracted to those bills. And yeah, you know, I'm sure a lot of right wing positions from the government, you know, are being put out there. You know, like for some, you know, what you said. I mean, I think it's ridiculous to, in a time like this, you know, we're in a, you know, in the middle of a pandemic where, you know, our generation, you know, I'm older than, let me say that again, I'm older than both of you. You know, my generation has never seen something like this, right?
Yeah.
The last thing that happened was in 1918 or something like that, right?
Yeah, man.
So none of us had lived through this thing. And then, you know, they, the right wing was always, you know, we have to understand also from ourselves, we need to understand they are organized enough to, you know, push legislation that will hurt not only, you know, governments abroad, but probably who knows what the repercussions are going to be for, you know, working class people here in the United States. So, yeah, you know, it's important, not only stuff like this. I think Unión del Barrio, with our limited reach that we have, we should, you know, try to analyze it at a level where everybody that looks at us from our social media outlets and media outlets can digest it and, you know, put it out there as simple as we can without too much dense analysis. You know, kind of like put it simple and very digestible so that people understand the counterbalance.
You know, we did put out a comunicado a couple of weeks ago, and if you listen to the last podcast, which will come out, it has the guidelines set there, and we constantly post things on our UDB page as well. And compa Ron, you were just making videos and stuff again, communicating to the community. For this instance, what would you say to the community regarding COVID-19? Because there is no type of leadership coming out of Washington. There is no international leadership coming out of it. There really isn't. The CDC is a shell of a FEMA is crap. Nothing. So what would you say to our raza, to our people who are, you know, being suppressed and forgotten, like the Secretary of Homeland Security, which goes by the name Chad Wolf, he said that undocumented people and people who are whatever the hell that fucking means, undocumented people, people who are detained by ICE currently are being assessed on an individual case-by-case basis as they were before this crisis happened in order to determine whether or not they have the COVID-19 or should be released prior. And when Donald Trump was asked specifically, what's going to happen to all these people who don't have ways to pay taxes, who are not going to get this bonus check, who can't file for unemployment, who can't file for Medicaid or anything like that, what's going to happen? You know, he said that he has U.S. citizens to worry about. So what would you say in the face of all this suppression, constant antagonizing, no kinds of leadership, what would you say to our people that are listening in right now in L.A., San Diego, and everywhere? And what would you say?
Yeah, most urgently is that we have to take this seriously. Like, this is not a hoax. This is not something that's fake. I know a lot of people in the community are saying, oh, this is not real kind of thing. Listen, when these capitalists shut down the NBA, Major League Baseball, hotels, restaurants, the capitalists are also losing money. Yes. So that's when you know this is serious. This is affecting them as well. The airlines, the tourism industry. So this stuff is real. So we have to protect our families and do what the experts say, you know, like the whole washing your hands and staying at home, being prepared with food, etc. That's the most urgent. And the other one is, like I mentioned before, you know, if this continues to get worse, and because of the lack of leadership in this country, it probably will get worse, unfortunately.
Yeah.
That's when we can see more state repression. We can see the National Guard, which has already been deployed all over the country. Mm-hmm. And at least 500 National Guardsmen have been deployed here in California. When that stuff starts to happen, history tells us, you know, that Black, Brown, Indigenous communities are going to get it the worst. You know, we saw what happened in New Orleans during Hurricane Katrina. You know, when FEMA showed up, when the National Guard showed up, they weren't there to help out the African working class. They let them die by the thousands. They were there to protect the businesses. They were there to protect the homes of the rich. And that's what's going to happen here in our neighborhoods if this continues to spread. So that's why not only do we have to protect our families from this virus, we have to protect our families and our communities from the state repression that can come down on us if this continues to happen. And I think it's also important that we provide the analysis for our community. Look at how places like Cuba are handling this virus. Yeah. Look at how places like Venezuela are handling the virus, and compare it to how it's being handled here in the richest country in the history of the world with the most resources of anywhere else in the world. You know, here they pass this $1,200 stimulus package. We know the majority of the money is going to go to the corporations. Oh. You know, compare it to Canada. Canada just approved their stimulus package. They're going to get $2,000 per month up to 4 months. So they can get up to $8,000 in Canada, which is a hell of a lot. They have a hell of a lot less resources in the United States. So as working class people, you know, they talk about essential workers, the raza out there in the fields right now picking the food that we're going to eat. They're quote unquote essential workers, but they're not going to get any of the benefits from those stimulus packages. They're not going to get any protection. They're not going to get any testing for the virus. This is what we're seeing, that the capitalist system is being unmasked. You know, even people who aren't political are seeing how vicious the system is, how disgusting the system is, that it's going to allow people to die because of profits. You know, here in Los Angeles, they're building this brand new, like $2 billion football stadium for the Rams. They will not stop construction of that stadium, even though workers have already tested positive for that. Just like the Amazon factories in New York, where the workers were on strike. You know, the capitalists want to protect their profits. They don't care about the people. That's why it's important that we provide that analysis for the community, that the system is not just the virus that's sick, but this system is a virus. Capitalism is a virus. And we need to rid our communities of both the coronavirus and a capitalism. And we see the South as our example of how real governments treat human beings, you know, with dignity and with human life ahead of profit. So that's why it's so important that we are able to analyze those governments and how they act, and then the capitalist governments and how they just let people die, like it's happening here in the United States.
That's right, compa. What would you add to that, compa? What would you say to our people? And what would you say to the people who aren't taking this seriously when it comes to it? Or what would you say in general? What are your comments?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, absolutely. I think it's no surprise for some of us to see that, you know, the other way to the top levels of the United States government, this thing was trying to be played down as in, oh, it's just, you know, nothing's going to happen. We only have 15 cases, you know, everything's going to be fine. You know, and it was, you know, to try to play it down too, so the economy, there was the market doesn't crash, right? Yeah. Or doesn't go down.
Right.
Because if there is one thing, we also have to remember that we are on a, you know, very close to an election. I don't know if you guys remember a couple months ago, the Democrats were in this fight between Bernie Sanders versus Joe Biden, right? So there is going to be an election. We will have that, you know. And for Trump, it's very important, right, that his base, right, the people that are working class white, you know, do feel like they are getting a good deal from their rich cousins, right? From the capitalists. That's what they are. You know, all the people that have the money, the real capitalists of this country, you know, they are the cousins of those poor people that are voting for Trump and wear those black MAGA hats, right?
Yeah.
Those red MAGA hats, I'm sorry. So, you know, it is of course opportunistic for the government to immediately say, nothing's happening, everything's down, right? Or, you know, hey, you know, let's open the country in 2 weeks, right? By Easter, we need it open. We need, you know, because he needs it. He needs He needs it to win, right? Because that's the only thing he has going for him, you know, from an electoral point of view, right? He hasn't done anything. This economy was coming and picking up a strength before he became president. It just so happens that when he was president, the economy was really good. So, therefore, you know, if he loses that, he loses bargaining chips. Yes. He loses what he has to offer to the poor working class whites, and therefore we lose the election. So yeah, it is about capital. You know, it was also no surprise that when he first came out with this is what we're gonna be doing, and yeah. You know, with his so called plan, most of the people were CEOs of this company or CEOs of this other company or the bank of I don't know what. You know, instead of saying, you know, this is Dr. So and so and this is the epidemiologist of, you know, from none of those people were they were probably in the periphery of the press conferences. Most of the people that were in the press conference were people that belonged to big business and big money, right. You know, because they wanted to give the appearance of big money is the ones that are going to come and save you all, you know.
Right.
Big money, you know, we need big money in order for our economy.
So, but did you want to add something, Comparon?
No, I think that's right on, you know. I think that, you know, a picture that I saw, I think it was yesterday, in Las Vegas, they've converted a parking lot into a homeless shelter.
That's
and they literally have drawn the lines, right, like a grid, so that people have their social distancing. And in the background of that same picture, you can see these massive hotels that are completely empty right now. There's thousands of empty hotels right now, hotel rooms in Las Vegas that are empty. And capitalism, instead of giving these human beings a place to stay where they can actually be, you know, social distancing and be able to be safe to not spread the virus, they would rather let these human beings sleep on pavement than use the resources that are available to help human beings. So that, you know, we see that this is a sick system, and that's how we have to explain it to our communities, so that they see that, you know, for all of these years when we've been saying that this system is bad, this is what we were talking about. And that's why I said, even people who aren't even political, and, you know, they're seeing this reality. And I think this is our time.
You know what?
People say, okay, if capitalism is bad, then what else is there? And that's where we come in. That's when we give an alternative to our community and say, you know, this is why we believe in socialism. Because right now, if you were in Cuba, you wouldn't have to pay to go see a doctor. You wouldn't have to pay to get tested. You would, you know, that's the kind of stuff where people need to understand, because obviously the corporate media isn't gonna say that. And of course, even here, you know, the Democratic Party, the Republicans are not going to say that. In fact, even the Democratic Party, even Bernie, calls Venezuela a dictatorship, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, going to the next part of the elections and, you know, the politics of all of this, you know, Bernie is right on with his, you know, universal health care, and that's something we should support.
Yeah.
And I think the world is seeing that, you know, Bernie was right about that, about health care. But everything else, we see that the two parties really are uniting. And these stimulus bills that are happening, you know, those aren't the solution. You know, someone put in a meme somewhere on Facebook, they put, if capitalism is so great, how come it has to be rescued by socialism every 10 years? You know? And it's true that this is a time we have to expose the system and show people how the beliefs that we have are more humane and they would benefit the interest of all people.
Look, I got a catchphrase for you. I got a catchphrase for you, compa. Hold on, I got a catchphrase for you. You said, oh no, people have been saying that, or Piche, Trump and all these people have been saying, we're fighting something invisible. We're fighting something invisible here. We're fighting something invisible. Okay, so that's the invisible disease. The COVID-19 is invisible, right? But capitalism is the shit you can see. You can touch, you feel that shit. So, hey. That's a new catchphrase, nonetheless. I didn't want to interrupt you. Not bad, man. No, but I mean, right on. We're gonna just go on a little miscellaneous topics here and there. So whatever it is that you want to jump into, you could definitely talk to. The main thing that I wanted to get out of this conversation was exactly what we already just talked about, which is our message to Raza out there. You know, take it seriously. Listen to what the compa said. Please keep an eye out on Facebook for Unión del Barrio Los Ángeles, Unión del Barrio in general, on your Twitter, on your Instagram. Like us, share this video, you know, support the compas that are around you, and really chime in and be responsible, not only for yourself, but for the people that you love, because if you don't take this shit seriously, then this shit is going to take you as serious as it takes, as you take yourself, and it's going to probably get you, man, and you're not going to want to be that person. Either you're asymptomatic and you give it to somebody that you love and then they die, or you're asymptomatic and you keep yourself self-isolated. Let's be real with that. But let's talk about what you were already heading to, compa. Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden, are they on the same team?
Well,
yes.
You know, yeah, of course. Right? I mean, the short answer is yes, right? I mean, there is no left right now in the United States, right? Mm. The left, but we don't have a national plan. You see, that's the problem. We're not a political party. We're an organization. So that's the problem. So we need to look at it from like, you know, the people that could actually have enough money or enough pool right now be even a contender for the presidency, right? I think that's the context that at least I took your question. Right? So is Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders the same? They are part of the same structure, right? They are part of money.
But he's an independent, compa.
He's not an independent because eventually, you know, the thing is that everybody is socialist when they're in the primaries on the internal primaries on their own party, right? Or at least for the Democrats.
Yeah, the pivot.
But once they make the jump between the, you know, one Democrat against one Republican, it is a race to see which one is going to be like the most hardcore on immigration. Who is going to be the most hardcore person on all the issues abroad? You know, who's going to be able to move the military? Who's going to be pushing the button? You know, all of those issues come out, and then the real thing, you know, who they really are, it comes out, right? I bet you Bernie Sanders will come out, will change his position. You know,
maybe. What do you
one
think,
thing Papa? That I always criticize what? On Democrats.
What?
Hold on, let me finish this point.
Oh, I mean,
point. One thing that I always criticize on for Democrats is like they're always saying, well, you know, we want to make things better for the middle class. But what about the working class, which is the biggest class in the United States, right?
Yeah.
It's like you, have you forgotten that in order for this small sector of the American society, right, which is called the middle class, you know, there is like hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people that are working class, man. And where are those people? Where are you leaving them?
It's the pivot.
You are putting them together as if they are part of the middle class, and they're not. They're a check away from Section A, you know? And I always criticize that. They are the party of the middle class and the rich, not the of the middle class.
That's right, compa. Compa Ron?
Yeah, I mean, I think that anybody who knows Unión del Barrio knows that this is what we've been most consistent with since day one, and that's that the Republicans and the Democrats are, you know, the same monster with two heads. These are, you know, they both are capitalists, they're both imperialists. You know, I think really important to mention here is, you know, I think people who don't follow politics or who aren't into the politics too much are going to be quick to blame Trump on what's happening right now with the coronavirus. But I have to say, you know, Trump's not really to blame completely. He's the current face of the problem, but the problem has continued throughout, whether it's been Democratic Party or Republican administrations. You know, we have to remind our community, when President Obama first came into office, his party had a super majority, mm-hmm. meaning they could have passed anything they wanted to without a single Republican vote. They could have passed anything they wanted to. So what did they pass? Did they pass, you know, quote-unquote immigration reform? No. Did they pass a serious health plan, you know, like a universal health care, what they call single payer? No. They passed what became known as Obamacare, which was basically a plan that continued the privatization of health care, but benefited, you know, big pharmaceutical companies, that benefited the private health insurance companies. Again, like Armando was saying, it didn't benefit the working class people. So that's why, like, every 4 years, we play the same game. We do the same dance. People say, well, who are you guys going to support? You know, we say neither one, because both of them are our enemies. And that's just the truth. And people are going to say, oh, you want Trump to win again? No, we don't want Trump to win again. But we don't want the Democrats to win either, because they're both bad. So what's really important at this juncture in history, I think, is that all of those people who I think were genuinely, you know, good-hearted people, people who put their time, energy, resources into going out there to support Bernie Sanders because they believed in his message of social justice and of, you know, healthcare.
Yeah.
Those people now should see that they were on the wrong side of history, right? They were in the wrong party. Yeah. So now that their guy cannot be a candidate, we see that it was stolen from him again. Now what are they going to do? You know, when they say burn or bust, no, our communities can't afford this burn or bust concept. They have to continue to organize regardless of who ends up in the White House. So we should invite those people who are out there organizing for Bernie Sanders to join the real struggle, the real revolution, not no Bernie Sanders revolution,
that's the real revolution.
That's why I think it's important right now. So now we're going to have Trump, who everyone knows is, you know, a fascist, a racist, a homophobe. He's the worst. But who is he going to go up against? Biden, an imperialist. Now, he, you know, it just came out this week. You know, he's being charged with sexual assault by one of his former staffers. And these people are disgusting. This is not a democracy where we get to choose between one capitalist pig and another. That's not democratic. You know, millions of people in this country who vote, who cannot vote in this system, that's not democratic. When the so-called essential workers that are right now, like we were saying, in the fields picking fruits and vegetables, mm-hmm. they can't vote. You know, so at the end of the day, you know, to even mention the concept of democracy with the elections in the United States, it's really a farce. So yeah. That's why we don't, you know, we stay out of the whole national question. Armando's right. The left doesn't have the strength at the national level to contend for state power right now. You know, that's our job as people in the movement to build towards that.
That's right.
But at the same time, until we get there, we have to, you know, give that analysis to our people, right? Ni demócratas ni republicanos. Solo el pueblo organizado vencerá. And I think that's what the message that Unión del Barrio has always pushed and has to continue to push.
That's right, compa. Did you want to say something, compa?
Yeah, if I could add real quick, real fast. You know, I think if I was, you know, I'm not, by the way, I don't support Bernie nor Sanders, but I mean, Bernie or Biden. But man. I know they're the same. They're so much the same that I keep getting No. So, but you know, if I was one of their supporters, man, you know, like this would be the time, right? This would be the time where I look at the party, you know, if you talk to a Bernie supporter, they're probably Democrats, you know, and some of them have good intentions and some of them are really good people to be around, right?
Yeah.
Really nice people, you know, to drink a beer with and a carne asada and shit. And even, you know, awesome people, right? But, you know, this would be the time if they have any self-respect.
Exactly.
Right? To say, you know what? Screw this, man. I am not going to vote Democrat anymore because, you know, at least if I live in California, the only way, the only time they want to use me is to come over here and use me as their ATM, you know, cash cow, mm-hmm. right? I'm going to go over there and I'm gonna get together with other people to form a third party, an option of a workers' party, right? Something that it really reflects the everything that they say, you know, the healthcare, the you know, all of those things that are.
But I hate to interrupt you, Pat. What would you say to the people who, after they already saw that it doesn't work, they're still trying to try to reform it? What would you say to the people who are just stubborn, compa?
Well, the thing is, I think having another party it's an option. The thing is. You know, I think it's that you have to build it on one fundamental thing, right? And that fundamental thing is working class people. Because the people that have the connection to the means of the production of this country, let it be vegetables, construction, trucking, all of those jobs that really, you know, you need actual people to be there and do it, mm-hmm. right? All of those people that are essential, all those people that have to work, and there are one paycheck away from being homeless, all of those people are the ones that you need to include. And stop trying to look at, you know what, I'm going to play along with all these super millionaires that are trying to give me money. And I'm sure money is tempting, but, you know, into people get to that the working class, you know, right, a party that is based on working class people is the only way that is really going to reflect and is going to be able to get everything that people want, like free healthcare, right? Just to mention one, is going to be like that by the support of the poor, right? That's, not the support of the rich.
Yeah, always
that's going the wrong way. The change is not to the right, it's to the left. So.
That's right. Compa, But ¿qué te iba a decir, compa? Yeah. Compa Randy, you already kind of gave the welcoming, you know, hey, come through. You know, if you really have self-respect and if you really analyze the situation and you come away with the conclusions that you already have, you know, come through, you know, join us. But I don't know if you want to add anything else to that, compa.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important that we do recognize the historical moment. I think a lot of people, now more people than ever, are at least interested in the concept of socialism, you know? And I think that Bernie Sanders' revolution, Bernie Sanders' concept of socialism is social democracy. It's a warped, it's not the socialism that we're talking about, right? It's not the socialism of Venezuela, of Cuba. And Bernie Sanders himself has said that. He said, that's not my socialism. At least he's honest about that. So I think that this is our opportunity for people to start to become more radicalized and to read and to understand what we're about. You know, so if people are out there and they're tired when they finally understand that they will never make fundamental change in this country through the Democratic Party, then the only natural response has to be to dump the Democrats and to form something different, right? Yeah. So, you know, African people who are tired of the system, you know, so go check out the African People's Socialist Party, you know, the Raza who's tired of this, who's tired of these Hispanic so-called leaders who always mislead our communities. We don't come to Unión del Barrio. We're not sellouts. We're never going to sell out like these Democratic Party leaders do, and because they backstab us and they sell out our community every single time. If you look at these cities that have so quote-unquote Latino Democrat mayors, like Los Angeles did, you know, these are the worst people. They're the ones always get busted for corruption. They're the ones who get busted doing all kinds of dirty stuff. In Los Angeles, it was Villaraigosa, a former so-called communist, former machista. He was the one stealing cars from undocumented
people. I think he was from MEPA.
Damn, he went there, right?
Too soon? So, I'm sorry, man. This is
not for me, man.
You know, not even. We have a goal analysis going in on that shit. Fuck that.
So, you know, so that's why I think that historically, look, man, Malcolm X told us, dump the Democrats. Jorge Gonzalez told us, dump the Democrats. Unión del Barrio for over 35 years has said, dump the Democrats. We're not crazy. We know what this means. Both of these parties represent the interests of the rich, and that ain't us. And we're not trying to become rich. We're trying to build a society where everybody lives well, where everybody has the resources necessary for survival. So that's why, that's what the struggle's about. And so I know someone's going to say, oh, well, if you don't vote for Biden, well, you're helping Trump. No. You voted for Biden, you're supporting capitalism. You voted for Biden, you're supporting imperialism. Right? You're continuing that system that screws us over every single day. So don't blame us for that situation. Blame yourself for giving your resources to a party that will backstab you every single time and for you to be dumb enough to continue to support that party. So that's why we're calling for people to join the revolution. I hope we didn't upset the Bernie bros, but you know what? I think they'll realize that you know, the reason why we don't support either one of those parties is because those are not the parties for us. And when people say ridiculous, I've heard Raza say things like, we're going to take back this country. We're going to take back the Democratic Party. I'm not the most expert historian in history.
Oh,
please let me know when this country belonged to us. Oh. Please let me know when the Democratic Party served our interests.
Because
I have never heard of it, ever. This is our land, but this is not our country, right? We're trying to build a different society. So that's why it's time for people to dump the two-headed beast, the Republicans and the Democrats, and join us, man. Join the revolution, the real one, not the corporate Democratic Party, you know, hijacked revolution.
Real shit. Yeah. Hey, I'm not going to speak for you, compa. When you say Bernie bros, are you? Do you mean like the media Bernie bro, or do you mean like a Bernie bro?
Anybody, man. I don't care. Anybody. And you know, and I don't want people to think that we're, like, you know, we're not trying to offend them. The reality is, like Armando said earlier, a lot of these people are good people. They're well-intentioned.
They really are.
I think they agree with us a lot more than they may think. Mm-hmm. And they definitely agree a lot more with us than they do with Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Biden, and with the brass of the Democratic Party. So we have to unite where we can, and not fight each other. That's over, right. You know, small differences.
You know what? Actually, Also, you know, if I could get a I think it also it has a, you know, it's also kind of like a, you know, situations like this, right? Many of those situations have come around, and at least in my political life, right? I've been in the underwater for over 27 years, and those situations kind of come around, right? The latest one was like the situation when Trump came in. We have never seen a phenomenon, not even a politician like Trump, right? A phenomenon like Trump. This is a moment in which it's a call to action for organization like ours. To say, you know what, let's look ourselves internally. You know, why is it that we haven't been able to take advantage of the political moment in which we're living, right? Why is it that the we don't have a lot more people joining us, right? We need to look at what is it that we're missing, and if we're missing something, let's talk about it and let's create it, right? And also, it's not just say, well, you know, let's be able to destroy what is going on right now, when we ourselves, right, not only Unión del Barrio, but all organizations on the left, right, it are fragmented, well, you know, and don't have a problem, a project in which will take us to actually build a nation, right? Like, we don't have that, you know, like, how are we going to deal with all of this, because all the massive endeavors that it takes to actually create a nation, right? Not the nation that exists right now, but something new, right? We need to start like really thinking about like how we're gonna do it, not only at a local level, but at a national level. Because the truth is that there is no national left, right? And that to me is a problem. If this country was to get really bad, because of COVID-19 and the fiber of society is basically comes unhinged and everything, it goes to shit, right? Mm-hmm. Are we really there, and are we ready to, you know, to provide leadership? And I think it's a call to action, like I said, for all of us, for all organizations. You know, where are we? Why is it that not all organizations, they have all of these things in common, right? Why is it that we're not you know, coming together on certain issues and creating a bigger, broader base than just organizations, you know, working in silos? I think to me, it's something that we also need to be a little bit critical, self-critical.
Yeah, definitely. I think it starts with this. I think it starts with the points of unity, you know, the welcoming and having these type of discussions, compas. I really think that, that the message that both you, Armando, and both compa Ron stressed of you know, just having that self-realization of, if we really want to change these things, you know, we got to be united, but, you know, you got to have some self-respect too, you know what I mean? You got to want to reach out and you know, kind of have these points of unity put out there. So I think this is a good start. I mean, it's a good start, but we do have to have some self-reflection nonetheless. Okay, so we'll just do a little round robin here on some topics here. I think we'll end it. We'll end it pretty soon here. Thank you for joining us again, compas. I really appreciate you guys joining us on the Pablo Aceves podcast. What are you guys' thoughts on pastors still congregating their worshipers all over the U.S.? And Piche, Trump was asked about that today, about Florida. Ron DeSantis, the governor, today issued a stay-at-home order after he hadn't done anything. And I think he closed, he didn't close the public, the beaches. I think the local governments were the ones that imposed those closures. And there's a loophole in the stay-at-home order that still allows for congregation of worshipers. What are you guys' thoughts on that? Just real quick.
I just hope that Trump and Pence and the Democrats and the Republicans, I hope they go to church every Sunday. I hope they hold hands.
Oh, man. For real, man. That's how I feel.
But for normal, everyday people, man, you know, it's
horrible, man.
It's sad that they're doing this, but it's even more sad because they're taking advantage of people's ignorance sometimes. And like any other capitalist, they're just worried about the paycheck. You know, like the businesses don't want to close because they're going to lose revenue. Well, it's the same for the churches. And I think that, you know, if people, whatever faith they have, you know, we have to respect that. That's fine. But For people to be congregating by the dozens, by the hundreds, or these major churches, maybe even by thousands.
Thousands, man, Louisiana.
Yeah, that's irresponsible. And, you know, we never really side with the state. But when they arrest these preachers, man, like, how can we fight that? Like, if you're going to do something that irresponsible and put society at risk, then you have to face the consequences. I think that as an organization, and going back to leadership that Armando was talking about, what happens when these Raza churches are doing this in our neighborhoods?
Yeah.
You know, do we have to provide that leadership? Do we go to the church and say, hey, this isn't right? You know, this is irresponsible. This is putting our community at risk. Are we at that level? And I think that that's something we have to seriously consider, because we don't want the police jamming up our people. Because at the end of the day, the people who are going to be in those, you know, going to church are going to be working class people. They're not going to be these rich people. They're going to be working class people going to church for the most part in our neighborhoods. So I think that that's where we have to, again, talk to our community and say, hey, look, man, like, you can't be having carnasadas right now. You can't be playing soccer at the park. You can't be going to a church right now. Like, we got to be smart, and we have to protect our communities. And if that pastor or preacher really cared about you and was serious, he wouldn't be asking you to come to church with all of these people at the same time. That's just common sense.
Yeah, you know, just to add a little bit to that, man, yeah. I mean, it's a you know, I'm not a religious person, as you know, but, you know, from what I remember, I think, you know, God is supposed to be in all places, right? and so it doesn't matter where you worship, really. You don't have to go to the mega church or even to a regular church to worship.
That's real.
Your God.
That's real, though.
Stay at home and pray, you know? So, I mean, I think, you know, Ron mentioned earlier that it comes out of sometimes ignorance. And, you know, a lot of people, unfortunately, probably leaves it to, you know, lo que sea, lo que Dios quiera, no que sea lo que Dios quiera, which is whatever God will is. And, you know, you have to think about it, man. I mean, it's, you know, if it's going to take a probably, you know, for them to be touched personally by this virus, right? In order for somebody to actually understand what's going on. Otherwise,
people true that, would but
be like,
I mean,
is the government's fault? Is blah, 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 blah. They're looking for other.
I told, I mean, there was some, I mean, I'm in like a little soccer chat group. I got a little group that I go play with on Sundays and stuff. And they kept on going. This is after like the stay at home order. This was like a week into it. And they were playing like every single day. I sent them a message. I'm like, yo, if you guys really want to take this thing seriously, you know, just stay home. Stop playing, fools. Like, what are you doing? Like,
yeah. Play FIFA, like, man, or something.
Play FIFA. No, and it's true what you said. You know, we got to respect everybody's religion, you know, and religion is something that really calls to, you know, your heart, and itol pelo, you are that. But, like, you got to be considerate of your family, man. Like, it's not about your worshiping. It's not about what it is that you want to feel. Like, it's about your sister, your mama, your grandma. Your brother, you know, it's not about you, fool. It's not about your religion, fool. We're not attacking you, fool. So it's like, come on, like yeah. get it straight. So I really hope that people really hear that message, man. It comes out of love, not out of hate. We don't despise your right to gather and do your thing. But yo, asymptomatic, man. Look it up if you don't know what the fuck that means. It means you can carry shit without you knowing, without any symptoms, fool. Just don't. All right.
It happens.
Yeah. Hey, have you guys heard of the Tiger King?
Yeah.
It's crazy, man.
I just know he's a racist, so fuck that guy. But any thoughts?
Well, I only seen the memes, of course.
Right? Yeah.
And I've seen the when I'm flipping through Netflix. I mean, you see the movie, but I haven't seen it. I don't know if it's a movie or a series.
I think it's a docu-series. Or a series. I'm not too sure. I think it's a docu-series on Netflix. It's popular, but yeah. If you haven't heard of him, or if you have heard of him, now you know. He's a racist. Fuck that guy. Don't pay attention to him. Don't give him ratings.
I saw a couple of episodes, man. I that was 2 hours wasted of my life. But only in America, como decía el Don King, only in America can you be a racist. Can you exploit animals? Can you do all this terrible stuff? You know, again, it goes back to the capitalist system. It's all about the money. whether it's exploiting not only the animals, but exploiting people, like, again, working class people. Like, they have, it's like a cult, basically. It's like they had a cult going on where they were paying people $100 a week, and these people were working like 80 hours a week and like living on the same grounds as these places. I mean, it's crazy, man. But I think, again, it goes to show that, you know, if people are not informed, if people are not educated about the realities of the system, you can fall for that kind of stuff. So whether it's a cult of the lion or the king, whatever, the Tiger King guy, or whether it's one of these cults is getting people to go to church on Sundays in the middle of a pandemic, whatever it is, man, we got to be really careful and inform our community about this kind of stuff. So I don't think it's worth talking about this.
No. I just wanted to bash on that for that. Talk shit on that guy. All right. Well, any final words, compas? I'm gonna go ahead and end it here. We'll start with compa Armando, and then we'll go to compa Ron. Any final words to the raza out there that are listening? I mean, we already kind of talked a lot, but
yeah. Well, you put me like in. I was hoping to Ron would go first, but you know. It is
you can go Ron.
No, I already started. So, you know, this thing is definitely something that we need to take serious. I think as you know, the good thing is that as members of this organization, we have to look at the politics of it. There's a lot of it into it, right? And what are going to be the repercussions, right? How is society going to look outside this, right? And for example, when we get out, when we come out on the other side of COVID-19,
yeah,
you know, is this whole social distance situation going to be the new normal for a lot of people, right? And you know, we need to actually look at it, analyze it, and adapt to how we're going to organize on all levels, right? Because people that could be sympathizers, people that are raza, that are working from home, that are, you know, that are living you know, with COVID-19 restrictions, you know, how are they gonna be in the other side? Are they gonna be willing to go to a march, right? Are they gonna be willing to be in large crowds? You know, all of that, I think, is something important that we all need to analyze and be prepared for, you know.
Yeah. Thank you, compa. Compa Ron, what would you like to say to Raza out there?
Yeah, I mean, the last thing we can't say enough is take this stuff seriously. You know, we're not trying to spread fear. We're just trying to tell people to take it seriously and be prepared and be responsible. Like, you know, this thing of being asymptomatic is deadly serious, man. Like, if you're a person who's in good health and you're young, you know, you can possibly get this virus and carry it for weeks and show no symptoms at all. God. You're going to feel great. You're going to show no symptoms, and you can be spreading this to your family, to your friends, to your community. So that's why it's so important. I heard somebody say in the news, you know, just pretend that, you know, just act like if you have it. Mm-hmm. That way you just protect everybody that's around you that you love. And lastly, you know, what I want to say is that, kind of going off of Armando's point, after this whole thing is said and done, whenever that may be, hopefully sooner rather than later, like, this is a moment for us as Unión del Barrio and as a movement, as the left internationally. We cannot go back to where we were before. We can't go back to where people don't have healthcare. We can't go back to where the working class people can't afford medicine and food and rent, etc. Like, this has really shook a lot of people. And the sad reality is it's going to get a lot worse from right now moving forward before it gets better. So people are going to see what capitalism is in its most vicious state. And after this, it's our responsibility as Unión del Barrio and as a movement to inform people so that we can't go back to the way things were before. It can't be business as usual. We have to fight for a better society. You know, during this virus, we're going to continue to struggle. And after the virus, we're going to continue, because the movement doesn't stop for the virus or for anything until all of our people are free, until we free ourselves from the virus that is capitalism as well.
That's right, compa. Well, thank you. Thank you both for joining us for this podcast. And, you know, well, the takeaways from this is take it seriously, right? Pretend like you have it, right? Walk around like you have it. And am I missing another one? Am I missing another one?
Keep organizing. Join. Keep if organizing. You're not organized already, join the organization. Join the struggle.
Yeah. Visit us at uniondelbarrio.org. Check out the UDBLA. Check out the UDB page. Check us out on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, even on YouTube. Check out our Somos Raza page. Be on the lookout for true leadership when it comes in the form of Unión del Barrio. And thank you guys again. I really appreciate it, compas. And yeah, hope you guys have a great day.
That is it for today. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please show us some love by posting comments and or sharing or following us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Use our handle at Unión del Barrio. The PA Podcast is a bi-monthly program that offers both audio and video content. It is a production of La Verdad Publications, the informational hub of Unión del Barrio. This is part of our ongoing work to keep our communities informed about current events and the most important political issues of the day. It is our hope to break the monopoly of the political information that the corporate media maintains over our communities. Unión del Barrio is a pro-raza liberation political organization, and we dedicate all of our work to organizing and defending the interests of Raza communities within the current border of the U.S. You can find out more about us at our organizational webpage at www.uniondelbarrio.org. The editor-in-chief of La Verdad Publications and producer of the PA Podcast is compañero Harry Simón Salazar. Once again, I'm your host, Juan Carlos Lozano, and always remember, the powers and the people and the politics that we address. On behalf of Unión del Barrio, we hope you continue listening to our shows. Y que viva la raza.